They marched Lockhart out of his office and down the nearest stairs, along the dark corridor where the messages shone on the wall, to the door of Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. They sent Lockhart in first. Harry was pleased to see that he was shaking. Moaning Myrtle was sitting on the tank of the end toilet.
"Oh, it's you," she said when she saw Harry. "What do you want this time?"
"To ask you how you died," said Harry. Myrtle's whole aspect changed at once. She looked as though she'd never been asked such a flattering question. "Ooh, it was dreadful," she said with relish. "It happened right in here. I died in this very stall. I remember it so well. I'd hidden because Olive Hornby was teasing me about my glasses. The door was locked and I was crying, and then I heard somebody come in. They said something funny, a different language, I think it must have been. Anyway, what really got me was that it was a boy speaking. So I unlocked the door to tell him to go and use his own toilet, and then..."
Myrtle swelled importantly, her face shining.
"I died."
"How?" said Harry.
"No idea," said Myrtle in hushed tones. "I just remember seeing a pair of great big yellow eyes. My whole body sort of seized up, and then I was floating away."
She looked dreamily at Harry.
"And then I came back again. I was determined to haunt Olive Hornby, you see. Ooh, she was sorry she'd ever laughed at my glasses."
"Where exactly did you see the eyes?" said Harry.
"Somewhere there,"
said Myrtle, pointing vaguely toward the sink in front of her toilet. Harry and Ron hurried over to it. Lockhart was standing well back, a look of utter terror on his face. It looked like an ordinary sink. They examined every inch of it, inside and out, including the pipes below. And then Harry saw it. Scratched on the side of one of the copper taps was a tiny snake.
"That tap never worked,"
said Myrtle brightly as he tried to turn it. "Harry," said Ron, "say something, something in parcel tongue." But Harry thought hard. The only times he'd ever managed to speak parcel tongue were when he'd been faced with a real snake. He stared hard at the tiny engraving, trying to imagine it was real. "Open up," he said. He looked at Ron, who shook his head. "English," he said. Harry looked back at the snake, willing himself to believe it was alive. If he moved his head, the candlelight made it look as though it were moving. "Open up," he said, except that the words weren't what he heard. A strange hissing had escaped him, and at once the tap glowed with a brilliant white light and began to spin. Next second, the sink began to move. The sink, in fact, sank right out of sight, leaving a large pipe exposed, a pipe wide enough for a man to slide into. Harry heard Ron gasp and looked up again. He had made up his mind what he was going to do. "I'm going down there," he said. He couldn't not go. Not now they had found the entrance to the chamber, not if there was even the faintest, slimmest, wildest chance that Ginny might be alive. "Me too," said Ron. There was a pause.
"Well, you hardly seem to need me," said Lockhart with a shadow of his old smile. "I'll just..."
He put his hand on the doorknob, but Ron and Harry both pointed their wands at him.
"You can go first," Ron snarled.
White-faced and wandless, Lockhart approached the opening.
"Boys," he said, his voice feeble. "Boys, what good will it do?"
Harry jabbed him in the back with his wand. Lockhart slid his legs into the pipe.
"I really don't think," he started to say,
but Ron gave him a push and he slid out of sight. Harry followed quickly. He lowered himself slowly into the pipe, then let go.